The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Welcome back. I hope you've had a little fun with the final program in the last session. If you took the time to contrast the listing of that program with the previous one, you may have noticed a group of hexadecimal numbers and a series of USR routines in the place of the previous basic pokes. Remember that the synchronous address multiplexer, the SAM, uses write-only registers that are located in the upper area of memory. 14 of those addresses are used to set or reset the individual binary digits of a 7-bit video display address. Turn back to the last program listing. PCLEAR 4 in the first line is intended to release memory for Extended Basics high-resolution graphics. What it actually does is move the basic program itself in memory, freeing a large block of memory space between 0600 and the start of the basic program. Now, the way I've arranged the screens is first to print them on the screen, meaning they appear in memory at 0400 to 05F, the usual address of screen memory when you turn the computer on. The info is printed on the screen by 7 subroutines and then, byte by byte, poked into memory at 0600, 0800, 0A00, etc. in blocks of 512 bytes. The screens are then prepared. All that remains is to redirect the video display by changing the video address in the SAM. My earlier program poked the changes in place, but the changes happen too slowly in BASIC. The results are illegible with unwanted screens flickering up between pokes. So I've set up some simple machine language subroutines, which you can see in raw form in lines 9 through 15. I'd like you to read these. Turn to your MC6809E data booklet and open to pages 28 and 29. The first hexadecimal byte in the program is hex B7. Look through your data booklet's numerical listing, and you find that B7 corresponds to STA, or Store A Accumulator, in the extended addressing mode. The extended addressing mode, as you know, means that the 2 bytes following the opcode form an address where the data is loaded from or stored to. The next 2 hex numbers in the program are FF and C7. Your SAM data booklet will tell you that FFC7 is the address to set the least significant bit of the video display address. Now follow the remaining hex bytes in the listing. You'll see B7 FFC9, meaning Store A Accumulator at FFC9. You'll see B7 FFCA, which is Store A Accumulator at FFCA. B7 FFCC, Store A Accumulator at FFCC. And finally, 39 hex. Check 39 in the numerical instruction list on page 28 of the MC6809E data booklet. 39 is an opcode which will become very familiar. It is RTS, Return From Subroutine. So the first group of bytes in line 9 of the basic program store the A accumulator at FFC7, FFC9, FFCA, and FFCC. A check of the SAM registers will show that these actions place the binary value 0011 in bits 9, 10, 11, and 12 of the video address. Bits 13, 14, and 15, the most significant bits, are all 0, because that's where they were established when the computer was turned on. The full result of this short subroutine, then, is to create the video address 0000, 0110, 0000, 0000. I'll translate that. It's address 0600, the first address of the first screen the basic program poked into memory. By analyzing each of lines 9 through 15, you will see that the video display addresses created are 0600, 0800, 0A00, and so forth. These 7 short machine language subroutines, then, are a quick version of the basic pokes that were used to redirect the screen in the previous program. The speed here, however, is too fast to see. How fast is it? Well, glad I asked that. Flip to page 31 in the MC6809E data booklet and look up the mnemonic STA. Under the heading Extended, you'll find opcode B7. We've already dealt with B7. The next column tells you that a Store A Accumulator Extended takes 5 clock cycles. There are 4 Store A Accumulator instructions in each video display switching subroutine, meaning a total of 20 clock cycles. The RTS, that's Return From Subroutine, takes 5 clock cycles. You can double-check me on that if you want to look it up. RTS takes 5 clock cycles. The whole subroutine, then, takes 25 clock cycles. At your color computer clock rate of 894,886 clock cycles per second, that means the subroutine is finished with its work in 0.0000279 seconds, 30 millionths of a second, about the time it takes the electron beam to sweep halfway across the TV screen. I want to close a knowledge gap now. Obviously, I've been talking about machine language subroutines in this BASIC program. BASIC puts those subroutines into memory in a very clumsy way. Look at the program listing. In lines 9 through 15 are a series of BASIC data statements in which the hexadecimal numbers are treated as strings. In line 16, I have variable X select the memory area to be used. In this case, it's 16293 to 16383, which are hexadecimal addresses 3FA5 to 3FFF. That's the top of memory in a 16K machine, so all of you can run these programs. The next step of the program has the hexadecimal byte masquerading as a 2-character ASCII string read as variable A string. BASIC identifies hexadecimal by the symbol ampersand H, so ampersand H is concatenated with each 2-character ASCII string. For example, B7 becomes ampersand HB7 when it's read and concatenated. In this way, BASIC can be tricked into taking the value of the string, and that value can then be poked into memory. All of that happens in line 16. 7 machine language subroutine entry points are established in program lines 17 through 23. Machine language subroutine entry points means the address at which the subroutine begins. Extended Color BASIC allows 10 entry points altogether. These are named USR0 through USR9. You can read those, User0 through User9. This program defines user 1 through user 7 for the 7 screens to be displayed. Finally, program lines 24 through 41 execute these subroutines in a fancy series of 4 next loops and delay appropriately. By changing the order of the loops, you can make the 7 messages flicker and flash in a variety of ways. So here's a BASIC and machine language hybrid program which gives you great versatility and power over the SAM, the video display system of the color computer. Here's a recap. 7 512-byte screens are created in the memory below the BASIC program. That memory is allocated by PClear 4. These screens are displayed by machine language subroutines that switch the video display registers in the SAM. As for that knowledge gap I mentioned, the technique for creating short machine language programs and poking them into memory via BASIC is something you can use often. Write the program either byte by byte or using the editor assembler. Then, take the hexadecimal opcodes and operands in the order they will appear in memory and put the values into a group of BASIC data statements. Read each value, convert it to a number BASIC can use, and poke it into memory. By using the def user define user command, define where your program will begin execution for each subroutine. From that point on, it only takes a user command to execute your machine language program. Review the program you've just run until you understand how that's done. It's very versatile and very powerful, so review it. Before I leave the program entirely, load the mnemonic source code that follows.
Find program number 17 in the book. Turn the computer off, insert the EdTASM Plus cartridge, and turn the computer back on. When the EdTASM Plus star prompt and cursor appear, you are ready to load the following program. Type L and hit Enter. When Ready Cassette is displayed, prepare to load this tape. The program follows now. You should have loaded an EdTASM Plus program. List the program using the P command and compare it with program number 17. If it does not appear correct, rewind the tape and try again.
Type A slash N-O. Remember, that's N-O, not N-0. And hit Enter. That's A slash N-O. Lines of information will scroll by. The incredible thing about this mnemonic source code, and most mnemonic source code, is that it looks so massive. Here are 36 lines of typing, 7 labels. They're 8 columns wide, practically filling a page. And yet, all this resolves into a mere 91 bytes of actual program, little more than a third of what a basic program line can hold. Now, since I knew precisely what I wanted, and since this program was so short and consistent, I actually figured out the hex code byte by byte using the MC6809E data booklet. Later, I typed this source code for you, but in doing the hand programming, I had to keep track of where each subroutine began. The nice part about an editor assembler is that whatever you have in mind can be typed and examined easily, even if it seems long. The editor assembler picks up your typing errors, whereas hand assembling each byte can be a highly error-prone procedure. Plus, by liberally scattering labels in the code, critical addresses can be identified. In fact, the assembler provides you a complete display of all labels at the end of the assembled listing. But which teaches you more? Actually, my vote is for hand assembly. I'll help you with some of that now. For hand assembly, you'll need paper and pencil, plus your MC6809E data booklet, open to pages 30 and 31. This problem will turn away from flashy video displays for a while. Here it is. Given an address transferred from a basic program, create a display which will present 8 lines of information. So the first given here is that you will transfer an address from a basic program. The point is to create a display which will present 8 lines of information. The lines of information. The first one will contain the address and 8 hexadecimal bytes of memory contents. Separate each byte of memory contents by a space. If the address is 2000, for example, the display should print 2000 followed by the data found in memory locations 2000, 2001, 2002, etc., up to 2007. In other words, we'll look at an address and we'll look at the memory. In the next line, the address 2008 would be displayed together with the memory data found at 2008 through 200F. And on down, for a total of 8 lines. So we'll have 8 addresses, 8 bytes of memory per address, for a total of 64 bytes displayed on the screen at one time. Are you ready? Well, you also have to know if you are ready. So think about session 8, where I presented a dozen machine language instructions and showed how they worked, including how flags were affected. If that's not clear and reasonably fresh in your mind, review it now. When those instructions make sense to you, you're ready to move on.
If you wish to review the arithmetic instructions, please do so now. These instructions were presented in Session 8. If you wish to review, turn this tape off now.
The problem at hand is to transfer an integer from BASIC, which is the integer representation of an address in memory you'd like to examine. That examination will display 8 lines, each line containing one address and 8 consecutive bytes of memory data. In all, 64 bytes of data will be displayed. First, conceptualize the problem. Information in integer form is to be transferred to the machine language program. Well, that part's easy. The USR function is used, with the target address being the operand in parentheses. In other words, USR 0 parentheses 4C23, something like that. You've already used the integer conversion subroutine from the BASIC ROM in order to retrieve a value from BASIC for your machine language program's use. We did that several lessons ago, so that's easy now. Once you've got the integer value in your own program, two things need to be done. First, the value has to be treated as displayable information. The address must be converted from an integer to 4 ASCII characters for presentation as a hexadecimal display. If you tried to display the address directly, all you'd get would be 2 bytes displayed in the actual condition of the address. It would be totally incomprehensible information. So the address, which is 2 bytes, has to be converted to 4 ASCII bytes for presentation. And secondly, the integer has to be treated as the address itself in order to retrieve the memory information for display. Because we've got to display some memory information too, so we've got to locate it. So, how about the integer to ASCII conversion routine? You'll want to break it down into simple modules if possible. Start by looking for modularity, small, consistent units that you can program. What you know you have are 16 binary digits, which you want to represent on the screen as 4 ASCII characters in hexadecimal notation. There's a clue there. 16 binary digits. 4 ASCII characters. You already know that a single hexadecimal number represents 4 binary digits. The solution lies in that knowledge. Treat each 4-bit group as an identical task. Treat each 4-bit group as a single subroutine. That line of thinking brings you one step closer to a modular approach. Each time you have 4 bits in hand, you can call the subroutine that creates an ASCII character from them. Each time you've got 4 bits, you can call a subroutine that creates an ASCII character from those 4 bits. Now you need only sketch out that subroutine. Recall a few sessions ago how, in order to access a table of encrypted codes, a constant value had to be subtracted from the ASCII characters to obtain numbers starting from 0. In this case, you have a complementary situation. You have 4 binary digits equivalent to the hexadecimal numbers 0 through F. In order to produce ASCII characters from the hexadecimal numbers 0 through F, it's necessary to add a constant value. To display the number 0 as the character 0, you need the ASCII value hex 30. So to display the number 0 as character 0, you would add hex 30. To display the number 1 as the character 1, which has an ASCII value of 31, you would need to add 30. Think of that. You would do that right up through number 9, which is displayed as the character 9, ASCII value 39. To get 39 from 9, the constant you add is 30. Well, so far so good. But when you get to the number A, you're in a little trouble. Binary 1010 is number A. Character A is ASCII value hex 41. Now, the constant you must add to number A to get character A is hex 37. It's consistent from A through F. Add 3-7 to the value to get the ASCII character. A plus 3-7 is 4-1, B plus 3-7 is 4-2, and so forth. Now, how do you reconcile the two different constants? You need 3-0 to get 0 through 9 displayed as ASCII characters 3-0 through 3-9, and you need the constant 3-7 to get A through F displayed. So, actually, you can't really reconcile those different constants. You find out whether the value is 0 through 9 or A through F, and you add the constant 3-0 or 3-7 accordingly. There's no other real way out of this. But it does look like that's enough information for a subroutine. The entry condition, as it's called, is a group of four binary digits. That 4-bit number is checked to see whether it is greater or less than 9. If it's greater than 9, you add the constant 3-7. If it's 9 or less, you add the constant 3-0. The result is an ASCII character which, when displayed, represents the hexadecimal numerical value. The ASCII character is the subroutine's exit condition. The nice part about a subroutine like this is its versatility. Not only can it be used to display the digits of an address, it's just as good for displaying the bytes of memory data. So remember, the entry condition is a group of four binary digits. The exit condition is a finished ASCII character for display. Mnemonically speaking, that would operate like this. The A accumulator enters with a 4-bit number. That 4-bit number is compared immediate with 0A. If the number is greater than 9, the carry borrow flag would not be set. Remember that a compare is a subtraction that sets a flag but doesn't produce a numerical result. So that if the number is greater than 9, the carry borrow flag would not be set. The program would branch on carry clear to an instruction to add 3-7 and then return from the subroutine. It would add 3-7 because it would assume that it was A through F. Otherwise, it would have set the carry borrow flag and it would add 30 and return from subroutine. So the A accumulator enters with the number and exits with the ASCII character. And that's pretty slick. So follow with me in the book. I've got a short listing written there. This listing assumes the A accumulator holds the 4-bit number. The label convert identifies the first instruction, and that's compare A accumulator immediate to 0A. Branch on carry clear to letter. Let's assume carry is clear. Go down to letter, and it would add to the A accumulator immediate the value 3-7, and return from subroutine. If the carry were not clear, it would add to the A accumulator 3-0, and return from subroutine. This little routine takes care of that conversion from 4 bits to ASCII. Now there's the task of breaking the 16-bit address into four 4-bit groups. Half of that's done already since the 16-bit address is split into 2 8-bit bytes. Creating this subroutine from there demands just a little convoluted thinking. You have 8 bits. You only want to use 4 bits at a time. And these 4 bits have to be in the least significant positions, because we're going to deal with the numbers 0 through F. In other words, if the number you have is hex 3C, you want to convert 4 bits 0011 into a 3, and the 4 bits 1100 into a C. That's 3C. The least significant 4 bits of the byte are just about ready to use. All that remains is to temporarily get rid of the most significant 4 bits. The term is to mask the bits, meaning create a mask so that only the bits you need show through it. The mask here is AND. Recall how the AND instruction works. Both conditions must be a 1 for the result to be a 1. To mask out the 4 leftmost bits of the byte, then, you would AND each of those 4 bits with 0. To mask IN the four rightmost bits, you would AND each of those four bits to 1. I'll repeat that in a different way. If the leftmost four bits are ANDed with 0, no matter what those bits are, the result of the ANDing will be 0. If the rightmost four bits are ANDed with 1, no matter what those bits are, they will effectively remain the same. Scratch it out on paper and look at it. Use the example 3C that I just mentioned. Write down the binary equivalent, 00111100. That's 3C. And underneath it, write down the mask 00001111. Now use the AND function. We'll start on the left. 0 and 0 is 0. 0 and 0 is 0. 1 and 0 is 0. Remember, both conditions must be met. 1 and 0 is 0. And that takes care of the leftmost four bits. Now the rightmost. 1 and 1 is 1. 1 and 1, again, is 1. 0 and 1 is 0. 0 and 1 is 0. There are the rightmost four bits. The result is 00001100, or 0C. The 3 has been masked out. And the mask to use here, 4 zeros and 4 ones, is hexadecimal 0F. To recap then, to retrieve the least significant 4 bits of a byte, use the mask 0F. You can pause here to review that section if you like. The next task is to retrieve the leftmost 4 bits. If logic holds, then, you can use a mask again. Since the bits you want are to the left, then the mask 11110000 should do it this time. That's F0. It will result in the 4 leftmost bits being masked in, and the 4 rightmost bits being masked out. If you mask 3C with F0, the result is 30. There's a problem there. You can see it. Although it masks in the bits you want, they're not in the correct place. You really want 03 to be able to display it. You can't use 30. You need them on the right side of the byte to represent the 4-bit numbers 0 through F. You have to get those bits from left to right. Recall the various rotate and shift commands from an earlier lesson. You'll need to refer to your MC6809E datasheet to choose the particular rotate or shift you want. Open the datasheet to pages 30 and 31. You know that you need to move these bits to the right. Your choices are arithmetic shift right, logical shift right, and rotate right. Look at each one. Arithmetic shift right reproduces the leftmost bit each time you shift. So this doesn't look very good. If you start shifting an F, for example, to the right, you'll end up with all these trailing ones, so that won't do at all. If you shifted first and masked second, it might work. But how about logical shift right? It shifts right and brings zeros in from the left as it shifts. That one looks good. Finally, rotate right swings the bits round from the other side of the byte, so you would need to mask the results afterward. Of these three choices, the logical shift right, LSR, looks the best. In fact, it looks excellent. Since the bits shifted out the right side end up in the bit bucket, and zeros come in from the left, why, you don't even have to bother masking this before you use it. The process of shifting it right gives you not only the 4 bits you need, but eliminates those you don't want. If that is not entirely clear, move back to the program and the lesson in which the instructions and opcodes for the 6809 were presented in a graphical form, and try the logical shift right. Here's a summary of these two program segments. The byte is to be displayed as two hexadecimal ASCII characters. The leftmost 4 bits are obtained by logically shifting the entire byte right 4 times. The rightmost 4 bits are obtained by masking the original byte with 0F. All that remains is to make sure the original value is saved before modifying it. Push A accumulator will take care of saving the byte, and pull A accumulator will get it back when it's needed. At this point, 2 major portions of the problem have been solved. The 8-bit byte has been converted to 2 4-bit numbers, and those 4-bit numbers have been converted to ASCII characters. The screen display routine has yet to be done. I'll leave you with these considerations. Your program has to know where to start the screen display in memory, that is, it has to be initialized. The current screen display position has to be updated so the next character displayed will appear in the next available position. Review this lesson and consider those problems for next time.